Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. We had our New Year's weekend. But that was also my first weekend ever as a single parent, quote unquote, because Michael had to go to a funeral. And so I had my first weekend without him, and it was so hard.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I think that's what triggered my cough.
Stress.
I like didn't get much sleep because I was up for hours and hours at a time. So I got even less sleep than my very little sleep that I was getting accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time he got back, I was just like exhausted and like fucked up feeling. He's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I think I'm sick. And then so I just spent the whole week like coughing and, you know, snotting and nobody ever got sick. And I'm feeling a lot better, but he didn't get sick. The baby didn't get sick.
That's good.
Coworkers didn't get sick.
It's always good when babies don't get sick.
That's very true. Yeah. So I don't know what it was. It could have been like lack of sleep and stress and not eating good and weather and all that. And the fact that I can't take literally any medicine at all.
That sucks.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah.
Suffering through the winter.
Yeah. It's been like snowing a lot, but also like not getting warm enough in between the snow for it to melt.
Yeah.
Which is not typical.
The roads are just pure ice.
So
like
much
in the
ice.
Neighborhoods.
Yeah.
We were sliding all over the place.
Yeah. It's like very, very odd for us.
Yeah.
Because usually we get warm up in between the snowstorms. That doesn't happen. And my house is so fucking dirty because I have just like towels everywhere to catch all like the snow off of our shoes and off of the dog and everything. And then I'm like, well, I'll wait for it to warm up so I can take the towels away and clean up. And it just hasn't happened yet. So my house is just fucking filthy. I really need a clean. My father-in-law's coming next week.
Oh, how exciting.
Finally.
Finally gets to meet the baby.
Yep. After she'll be almost 5 months, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
God, she's getting so big.
She's almost half a year.
I know. That means I'm almost half a year through postpartum, which means I'm so, so close to being done pumping. I think once I hit a year, I'll go down to like pumping twice a day instead of six times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, because you can't just quit cold turkey because you can get mastitis, which can like fuck you up. Like you have to go get antibiotics for it.
Oh man.
Like it leads to like infection and stuff. It's like really bad.
Sounds fun.
So you have to like slowly quit. Luckily I'm not an overproducer, because if I was, then it would be harder for me to quit. Like my coworker, she was an overproducer, so she had to quit like if she pumped every 3 hours, let's say, she had to pump every 4 hours and then get used to that, and then pump every 5 hours and then get used until eventually it was enough. And now she's still, her baby is a year and a half, and she's still, no, that's not right. Yeah. I don't know. Two?
Something.
I don't know why I'm asking you. I don't know. A young baby, but not an infant. And she still nurses her every day at night.
Aw.
Yeah.
Isn't it good for you to, like,
do that?
Keep it up?
For the baby?
Yeah.
Yeah, they, is it CDC? I don't know. The WHO? That sounds.
The WHO?
Yeah, the WHO. I think they recommend 2 years.
Oh, okay.
Of breast milk now.
Smart. What if you can't do it?
Formula is really good.
Yeah.
Nowadays. Yeah. It's like very, very, very good. I think the biggest thing about breast milk is like if your baby does get sick, like I was telling you, your boobs will know and it'll like give them antibodies and stuff.
That is so weird.
It's super weird.
Evolution is crazy.
But I looked it up because I'm pretty much exclusively pumping. And for your boobs to be able to do that, it's through the saliva, so they have to latch.
Oh.
So.
Weird.
Yeah.
Babies are so weird.
Yeah, boobs are weird.
It's all weird.
But the body is just a weird thing.
It is.
I was like trimming my nails the other day and I was like, fingernails?
Yeah.
Ew.
What's the deal?
That's so gross.
And how did they do it in olden times?
I don't know.
Just grew them out?
Yeah. Fingernails are gross. Hair is gross.
It's all gross.
I was cleaning earwax out of her ear. Like, not like how you would do it in your own ear. There was just like a clump of it right in the center and I like dug it out with my finger. And I was like, ew. A clump of earwax on my finger.
Very gross.
Why do we wax?
Why anything?
I don't know.
It's all so weird.
Why anything?
But it's magical.
The human body is just... Life is weird.
Life is so weird.
Well, on that note, happy Fears and Fridays, everybody. We are on Holy Gossip Girls. I'm KC.
I'm Faye.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking water out of this beautiful cup that I got for Christmas.
How would you describe that color? Periwinkle?
It's like a really light bluish purple. Purplish blue, probably. With little flowers all over it.
It's like that nail polish I have, Bet Blue.
It's very pretty.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with it.
I love all the little flowers. Is that a hard plastic straw or is it squishy?
It's kind of squishy.
Kind of squishy.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking water also.
Ooh, water going.
From my work jug.
Work jug?
Stainless steel.
I don't know what mine is.
Seems pretty stainless.
Yeah. Seems... No stains so far.
All right. Well, I have a two-parter for us. And it's a really terrible, fucked up story. So obviously it's a heavy hitter. Everybody, I feel like, knows this story. If you don't know this story, I don't recommend looking it up, but there's a lot of rape in it. Ugh. There's child death and rape.
Wow.
And a lot of death, obviously. So, and it's a lot of the story. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try not to like dwell on it too much and not, I don't know. We're just going to get through it. Uh-huh. So we can talk about, because I think the ending is like insane and I really love the ending a lot. Mm-hmm. But it'll just take a while to get there.
Okay.
So strap in for 2 weeks while we talk about some horrible, horrible man.
Can't wait.
Named Richard Ramirez. Ugh. So Ricardo Richard, quote unquote Richard, Leyva Menyoz Ramirez, aka the Night Stalker, also known as the Valley Intruder and the Walk-in Killer.
Ooh, got nicknames.
I didn't know those other two nicknames. Did you?
I did not.
So, we're going to start with his early life. And his early life is fucked up. So, it's fucked up. Like, this whole story is fucked up.
Wow.
And, like, I watched a documentary on the Night Stalker, I think on like Netflix, and obviously I've heard podcasts and stuff, but I for some reason didn't remember any of his early life stuff. So whenever I was researching it, I was like, well, no shit. He's no shit.
Yeah.
Like sometimes whenever you hear like, oh, his dad was mean to him and he fell on his head as a 7-year-old and then he killed 40 people. And you're like, that doesn't add up. The stuff that happens to him in his early life, it adds up for me.
Does it?
It makes sense.
Oh.
So, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Richard Ramirez was born in El Paso, Texas on February 29th, 1960 to Julian and Mercedes Ramirez, the youngest of their 5 children. His father, Julian, was an alcoholic who was prone to fits of anger that often resulted in physical abuse towards his wife and children. Richard began smoking marijuana and drinking alcohol at the age of 10.
Oh, wow.
At age 12, Richard, or Richie, as he was known to his family, was strongly influenced by his older cousin, Miguel.
Come on, Miguel.
AKA Mike, I guess they called him. who was a decorated Green Beret combat veteran who himself had already become a serial killer and rapist during his time in the army in the Vietnam War.
Oh my God. This whole family, just throw them away.
Yeah. Mike often boasted of his brutal war crimes and shared Polaroid photos with Richard showing Vietnamese women whom he had raped and murdered.
Oh my God. I hate this guy.
As a 12-year-old. Yeah. Not Mike was a 12-year-old. Richard was a 12-year-old.
Where is he now, Mike? Is he dead?
He's dead. I can't remember. We're going to hear more about Mike. Okay. So I can't remember where he is now. He's probably dead, though.
I think he got beat to death.
Because if he was in the Vietnam War, he's dead. That was a long time ago. Right?
Some of them are still walking around.
He has to be dead.
I hope he's dead.
It's got to be. There was more to that sentence. Raped, murdered, dismembered, or decapitated.
Oh, fun.
Richard was fascinated by these images and stories Mike shared with him. Mike taught his young cousin some of his military skills, such as killing with stealth and effectively staying hidden in the dark, especially at night.
Why does a 12-year-old need to know that?
Hide and seek. I don't know.
Stupid.
Around this time, Richard began to seek escape from his father's violent temper by sleeping in a local cemetery.
Okay.
Normal. Totally normal. Richard was present on May 4th, 1973, when Mike fatally shot his wife in the face with a handgun during a domestic argument.
Wow.
Like the graphic photos and stories of his cousin's war crimes in Vietnam, Ramirez would later similarly remark that witnessing the murder was not traumatic in any traditional sense, but rather a subject of fascination.
This whole family's fucked up.
Yeah. After the shooting, Richard became sullen and withdrawn from his family and peers. Mike was later found not guilty.
Oh my God.
Of the murder.
How?
By reason of insanity.
Yeah, clearly.
With the shooting attributed to post-traumatic stress disorder from his service in the Vietnam, he was confined for several years in the Texas State Mental Hospital. Ugh. Shortly after the shooting, Richard moved in with his older sister, Ruth, and her husband, Roberto, an obsessive peeping Tom who took Richard along on his nocturnal exploits.
How is Richard like the coolest person to hang out with or what? Why does everyone want to take him out?
I don't know. People like that, I think they just somehow find other people like that.
So messed
up. You know? So, after Mike was released from the mental hospital in 1977.
Shouldn't have been.
You know, he was a known convicted murderer. He sometimes accompanied Richard and Roberto on these voyeuristic walks, spying on women in the nearby areas through their windows. By the time Richard had turned 14, so this all happened in 2 years. So crazy. In early 1974, he began using LSD frequently, which if you're a regular user of that, I can see how that would kind of fuck you up.
Especially if you're already a psychopath. Fucked
up. Yeah. He and Mike resumed bonding over their shared use of drugs and alcohol. It was during this period that Richard began to cultivate an interest in Satanism and the occult.
Oh, that's normal.
Add more to it. Just pile it on. You know those like memes that's like, way God made my wife.
Yeah.
And it's like a dash of personality, a cup of beauty, and this much ass or something. Like, you know, like something
yeah.
funny.
Uh-huh.
Whenever they're like, whenever Satan made Richard Ramirez, it was this much crazy and this much peeping Tom. And like all the bad things.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
There's not one good quality this kid has.
Definitely not.
No.
When he reached adolescence, Richard Ramirez began to meld his burgeoning I think that's like new sexual fantasies mm-hmm. with graphic violence, including forced bondage, BDSM, murder, mutilation, and rape.
Gross.
Mm-hmm. While still in school, he took a job at a local Holiday Inn and used his pass key to rob sleeping patrons.
Okay, I didn't know you could do that. New career goal.
On at least one occasion, Ramirez molested two children in an elevator at the hotel.
Why is he not in prison?
He was never reported or prosecuted for this act.
How did I know it happened? Did he just blab?
I'm not sure.
Told on himself.
His employment ended abruptly after Ramirez attempted to rape a woman in her hotel room and was caught in the act by the victim's husband.
Yeah, that's grounds for firing.
Yeah. Although the husband beat Ramirez at the scene, criminal charges were dropped when the couple who lived out of state declined to return to Texas to testify against him.
These people could have stopped so much.
Yeah.
Not their fault, though.
Not their fault, yeah. But, yeah. Crazy. Oh, hey, Fuji. Ugh, let me move my foot out of your head. All right. Ramirez dropped out of Jefferson High School in the ninth grade. In 1982, at the age of 22, he moved to and settled permanently in California. It was around this time that Ramirez began to use cocaine, which quickly became his substance of choice, and began to commit theft and burglaries to procure money for sustaining his addiction. He lived nomadically between San Francisco and Los Angeles during this time. He frequently traveled between the northern and southern areas of California, both before and during his one year long crime spree.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There's like, 20 different murders.
I thought it was much longer.
Yeah, 1 year.
It's crazy.
Okay. I guess let's get on to some murders.
Yay.
All right. So, this is the meat of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be talking about it for a really long time.
Okay.
And I'm really sorry about it.
Okay.
Okay. The first one's arguably one of the worst. Sorry. All right. On April 10th, 1984, Ramirez murdered Mei Ling, a 9-year-old Chinese-American girl, in the basement of his apartment building in San Francisco. Ling was with her 8-year-old brother and looking for a lost dollar bill when Ramirez approached the girl and told her to follow him into the basement to find it. Once they were in the basement, he beat, strangled, and raped her before stabbing her to death with a switchblade, hanging her partially nude body from a pipe by her blouse.
Fucked up.
On June 28th, 1984, 79-year-old Janine Vinkow was found murdered in her apartment in Los Angeles. She had been stabbed repeatedly in the head, neck, and chest while asleep in her bed, and her throat slashed so deeply that she was nearly decapitated. Ramirez's fingerprint was found on a mesh screen he removed to gain access through an open window. This, Ramirez's second known murder, established his pattern of breaking into homes, committing particularly vicious murders, and frequently burglarizing his victims, either before or after killing them, which was mainly to support his cocaine addiction and to pay his rent. So he didn't have, like, a normal job.
I don't do normal jobs.
Nope. I just am a fucked up person.
I'm just a freako.
On March 17th, 1985, Ramirez attacked 22-year-old Maria Hernandez outside of her home in Rosemead, California, shooting her in the face with a .22 caliber handgun after she pulled into her garage. Get this.
Mm-hmm.
She survived when the bullet ricocheted off the keys she held in her hand as she lifted them to protect herself.
Oh my God, girl boss.
Because, you know, that's like a normal, like, you know, like, don't shoot me. Let me put my hands in front of my face because, you know, my hand is bulletproof. But hers was.
Hers was. Isn't way to go.
Crazy? It's not a happy ending to the story because she played dead until he left the scene. But inside the house, her roommate, Dale Yoshi, Okazaki, age 34, heard the gunshot and ducked behind a counter when she saw Ramirez in the kitchen. And when she raised her head to get a look, he shot her in the forehead, killing her instantly.
Aww.
Within an hour of the Rosemead home invasion, Ramirez pulled 30-year-old Silane, or Veronica Yu, out of her car in Monterey Park. I really should have practiced saying some of these words. shot her twice with a .22 caliber handgun and fled. The two murders and attempted third in a single day attracted extensive coverage from news media, who dubbed the attacker, described as curly-haired with bulging eyes and wide-spaced rotting teeth, as the walk-in the walk-in killer and the valley intruder. So that's fun. He has a name.
I don't like that they gave him, like, cool-sounding nicknames.
That is always interesting. Like, I wonder if that goats them on.
Yeah. They should call him Diarrhea Boy. I think.
Oh my gosh.
Pee-pee Man. Because then no one would want to murder.
Pee-pee Man. I love that. That is interesting to think about, though. Because, like, I wonder if they're, like, happy with their, like, nickname that they get.
Yeah. Or, like, to get to the point that you get a nickname.
Yeah. If that's, like, the goal.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it was Richard Ramirez's goal to be anything. I think he was just fucking...
He's just a psycho.
Yeah. I think he's just crazy. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back to more murder.
Okay.
Bye. Fine,
bye.
And we're back.
Hello.
I had to take like a little bit of a break and restart my computer.
Yeah. Luckily it saved though.
I know.
Last part.
I got for the first time a page 404 content not found or some shit like that. I was like, I didn't even do anything. And it was a heart-wrenching moment.
I was terrified.
We were clenching our butts.
Yeah.
Fuji too.
Yeah.
We were just all butt clenchers waiting and waiting. And then it was there.
That's what they should call serial killers.
Butt clenchers?
Butt clenchers.
Why?
Just like as a nickname. Instead of something cool like Night Stalker.
The good old butt clencher. It sounds like sexual though.
It does. Never mind. Take it back.
All right. So back to terrible things. On March 27th, 1985, Ramirez entered a home that he had burglarized a year earlier, just outside of Whittier, California, at approximately 2 a.m., and killed the sleeping Vincent Charles Zazara.
That's a cool name.
Mm-hmm. Age 64, with a gunshot to his head from a .22 caliber handgun. Zazara's wife, Maxine Lavinia Zazara, age 44, which, good for him, he married a woman 20 years younger.
That's gross. I hate women do that.
I feel like once you're like an old person, age doesn't matter that much.
But yeah.
At the same time, like,
if they met when she was like much younger, that's creepy.
It is creepy. I think the biggest thing for me is like you wouldn't have any of the same like cultural references.
Oh yeah.
So like I don't know how it would be for like 60-year-old people, but I know even that guy that I dated that was like 6 years older than me, we had like completely different shows and stuff we watched growing up.
If you don't get a SpongeBob reference, you're not for me.
Yeah.
That's my gauge.
Yeah. Because like you and I's SpongeBobs are different than like my niece and nephew.
Gen Z SpongeBob.
Yeah. Because like we didn't watch any. I mean, after we stopped watching SpongeBob.
Yeah.
They still made SpongeBob. Until recently. They're not still making it, right? Because the guy that voiced it died, right?
The guy who created it died.
Oh, was it created it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I did read that he was like, his whole life, he was like, no spinoffs. I don't want a spinoff. And then the moment he died, there's a spinoff now.
Really?
It's like Patrick doing something. Messed up.
That's fucked up.
Really?
I don't like that.
Me either.
Respect the dead.
For real.
He's going to come back and haunt everybody with that SpongeBob laugh. Even though it wasn't him that did that laugh.
I can't wait. I
hope his he haunts his me. Ghost will learn the SpongeBob laugh. All right. Anyway. Age 44. Okay. So the wife was awakened by the gunshot. And Ramirez beat her and bound her hands while demanding to know where the valuables were. While he ransacked the room, Maxine escaped her bonds and retrieved a shotgun from under the bed.
Good place to have it.
But it was not loaded.
Oh, no. Load your shotguns, people. Actually, don't. Actually, I'm conflicted about that.
I'm a little conflicted, too, yeah. To be honest. I feel like it depends on who's holding it.
Yeah, that's true.
And not what you're holding.
And who lives in the house.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. Yeah, because, anything can be, any weapon can be. Or anything can be a weapon, depending on who's holding it, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so she tried to pull the trigger, and he turned around and saw her, and he shot her 3 times, killing her. Sad. Then fetched a large carving knife from the kitchen. He mutilated her body by cutting an inverted cross into her chest. This is so fucked up. I'm just going to say it really quick. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He removed her eyes with a knife, placed them in a jewelry box. He took the jewelry box with her eyes when he left and kept them as a souvenir until his arrest.
Oh, God.
Vincent and Maxine's bodies were discovered by their son, Peter. Ramirez left footprints from a pair of Avia sneakers in the flower beds, which the police photographed and cast. This was virtually the only evidence that the police had at the time. Bullets found at the scene were matched to those found at previous attacks, and the police determined that a serial killer was at large.
What happened to the fingerprint on the screen? He's just not in their system?
Not yet, yeah.
Okay.
Or, I don't know if they had connected it yet.
Okay.
But yeah. It was just, yeah. I think I might talk about it later. I can't remember. Maybe.
We'll find out.
All right. On May 14th, 1985, Ramirez returned to Monterey Park and entered the home of Bill Doy, age 66, and his disabled wife, Lillian, age 56. Surprising Doy in his bedroom, Ramirez shot him in the face with the .22 semi-automatic pistol, so a different gun, as Doy went for his own handgun. After beating the mortally wounded man into unconsciousness, Ramirez entered Lillian's bedroom, bound her with thumb cuffs, which...
There's like one of those finger traps.
That would be hilarious. Oh my god. But thumb cuffs is actually kind of smart because they're so much smaller to carry around.
And you can't like, it would hurt more, I think, to try to get out of that than your wrists.
Yeah. Maybe we should buy some thumb cuffs.
We should.
Just in case somebody breaks in.
We should.
All right. I bet they sell some on Etsy that are like pink.
Aw.
I want some pink thumb cuffs.
Self-defense.
I really want like a pink pepper spray.
Oh, I saw some at Walmart and it was like bedazzled.
Yes.
I'm gonna buy it next time.
I think we should just get all the pink self-defense stuff.
Yeah. Pink gun.
Oh, yes.
Pink crowbar.
Oh, sure. What are those really big Japanese knives? Swords?
Swords. A katana.
Yeah, pink katana. anyway. Oh, sorry. The last part of the sentence is sad. Bound her with thumb cuffs, then raped her after he ransacked their home for valuables. On the night of May 29th, 1985, Ramirez drove a stolen car to Monrovia and stopped at the house of Mabel Bell, a.k.a. Ma.
Oh, Ma.
Age 83. And her disabled sister, Florence Lang, a.k.a. Nettie, age 81. And I wrote here, those are the cutest nicknames ever.
They are.
Ma and Nettie.
Nettie.
Finding a hammer in the kitchen, he bludgeoned and bound Lang in her bedroom, then bound and bludgeoned Bell before using an electrical cord to shock the women.
What?
After raping Lang, he used Bell's lipstick to draw a satanic pentagram symbol on her thigh, as well as on the walls of both bedrooms. The women were found 2 days later alive but comatose and critically injured. Bell unfortunately died of her injuries in the hospital. The next day, Ramirez drove the same car to Burbank and sneaked into the home of Carol Kyle, age 42. At gunpoint, he bound her and her 11-year-old son with handcuffs, then ransacked the house. He released Carol in order to direct him where the family's valuables were. He then raped her repeatedly. Ramirez also repeatedly ordered her to not look at him, telling her at one point that he would cut her eyes out. He fled the scene after retrieving the child from the closet and binding the two together with handcuffs. So, at least he didn't kill the kid.
Yeah.
Small miracle. On the night of July 2nd, 1985, he drove a stolen car to Arcadia and randomly selected the house of Mary Louise Cannon, age 75, a widowed grandmother. After quietly entering Cannon's home, he found her asleep in her bedroom. He bludgeoned her into unconsciousness with a lamp, then stabbed her to death using a 10-inch butcher knife from her own kitchen. Ramirez repeatedly stabbed Cannon's body after she was already dead. On July 5th, 1985, Ramirez broke into a home in Sierra Madre and bludgeoned 16-year-old Whitney Bennett with a tire iron as she slept in her bedroom. After searching in vain for a knife in the kitchen, Ramirez tried to strangle the girl with a telephone cord. He stated that he was startled to see electrical sparks emanate from the cord, and when his victim began to breathe, he fled the house believing that Jesus Christ had intervened and saved her.
So he's satanic, but also believes in Jesus?
I mean, I feel like because they're connected, yeah, you have to believe in one to believe in the other.
But why would you respect the wishes of Jesus if you're, like, into Satan?
That's true.
Also, why does she not own a knife?
I don't know.
It's kind of weird.
Maybe he didn't. Maybe they put him in the drawers.
No.
All my knives are in drawers.
Yeah, but you open drawers.
I mean, maybe he was looking for, like, a butcher's block.
Oh.
To try to be easy. Well,
then he's just dumb.
He is dumb. Bennett survived the savage beating and attempted strangulation, although 478 stitches.
Oh my God.
Were required to close up the lacerations to her scalp.
Oh my God. That must have been so much blood because scalps bleed a lot.
Yeah. I just can't. That's she's lucky that's to be alive. It's insane. On July 7, 1985, Ramirez burglarized the home of Joyce Lucille Nelson, age 60, in Monterey Park. Finding her asleep in her living room couch, he beat her to death by stomping on her face repeatedly. A shoe print from an Avia sneaker was left imprinted on her face.
He needs to get new shoes.
After cruising, I agree. after cruising two other neighborhoods, he returned to Monterey Park and chose the home of Sophie Dickman, age 63. Ramirez assaulted and handcuffed Dickman at gunpoint, attempted to rape her, and stole her jewelry. Attempted to rape her? I don't know. When she swore to him that he had taken everything of value, he told her to swear to Satan.
Okay.
And that became like his new thing. Ugh. All right, so let's take a break here, and we'll come back next week for part two. But my sources are Wikipedia.
Great. Can't wait.
Great. Yeah. So, yeah, he's just, it doesn't get better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think it gets much worse than it already has. It gets equally.
Mm-hmm.
But do you remember the ending of the story? It's just like so
satisfying.
Yes, it has a very satisfying ending, so I'm excited to get to that point. Sorry we have to split it up into 2 weeks, but cool. Do you have anything else you want to say to the people?
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
I really love your sweater.
Thank you. It's really soft. Feel it.
Oh. Ooh.
And I already washed it. You know how usually they're soft until you wash them?
I love that. Where'd you get it?
Target.
What?
Yeah. It was like the last one. And I was like, I gotta have it.
Yeah. I haven't seen very cute clothes at Target lately.
Yeah, they've been going downhill.
It's so weird.
It's like prairie dresses.
It's so weird.
It's really weird.
Yeah, like the... And I'm like, is this what's in right now? Because, like, I don't know a thing about fashion. But, like, this looks not only uncomfortable, but, like, hideous.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm okay wearing ugly clothes as long as they're comfortable.
Uh-huh.
But...
You know what's wild?
Huh?
Walmart's stepping it up.
Oh.
Walmart has cute stuff now.
Do you remember whenever Walmart and Miley Cyrus had, like, a line? I had so much of that stuff.
That's so crazy.
That was in,
so
like, 2009.
Yeah. We were babies.
I love that. I want to go back to then.
Me too.
It was such a cool time. You know, I used to go to Walmart all the time. Remember whenever... You would, I don't know if you ever did this, but you would just like go to Walmart at like 2 o'clock in the morning, just like walk around with your friends.
That was fun.
They don't, I mean, they're not open anymore.
Sad.
Yeah.
All our good times are behind us.
Yeah. Well, that's not true. All our good times at 2 a.m. are behind us. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
Although I am up at 2 a.m. now.
Having a great time.
It's crazy, though, whenever I wake up, because I can have, like, a full fucking conversation with Christina, because she's awake.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's 7 hours ahead of us.
Uh-huh.
And so, at least I have somebody to talk to at 2 a.m. I mean, I have Michael, too, because he's sitting right next to me. But he's, like, half asleep feeding the baby, and I'm half asleep pumping, looking at my phone, going, God, I fucking hate my life doing I hate pumping so much. Anyway.
Anyway.
It's okay. I'm grateful to be able to feed my baby.
Yeah.
Ugh. Ugh. All right. Babies. Well, I hope you guys are having a really good January. This is the last episode in January. I think the first month out of the year is always kind of rough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
January is my least favorite month.
Yeah. It's always like not great.
Yeah.
Like
it's cold and it's still snowing, but you don't have Christmas to look forward to.
Yeah. And like,
lame
for me, it's like I have all this stuff I need to do like immediately, right? Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, I need to put up all the decorations. I need to clean the house. I need to get ready for this. I have to get my planner ready for the whole year. I have all these plans, right? And everything starts back at zero. And it sucks.
Yeah.
I hate starting at zero.
January is the worst.
Thank God it's over.
Thank God it's over. But now we have to deal with February, which is my second least favorite month.
Yeah, but it has your second favorite holiday.
That's true. Second least favorite month, second favorite holiday. So I guess it evens out.
Yeah. I mean, what are we going to do? My mom just got Charlotte a really cute Valentine's Day outfit.
Aww. I saw some cute stuff at Target and I wanted to buy it all, but I was like, I can't dress someone else's baby.
I mean, you could. If you decide to, she's in 3 to 6 month clothes almost.
I'll remember that.
Yeah. But don't get too much stuff. Because
everything's so cute.
Everything is so cute.
It's just so cute.
I got to show you how much. I think my 3 to 6 month section of her closet is like the most clothes.
Really?
Yeah. It's a lot. I've probably got like 30 or 40 just onesies in there.
Aw.
That's insane. That's
so cute.
She's going to wear a different one every single day.
She does outfit changes like Mariah Carey.
And then literally never wear them again and then grow up to the next size.
Yeah. She's a fashionista.
I guess so. She is highly fashionable.
She is.
She's so cute. She's like a little doll.
Aww.
I just love her. All right. Well, we hope you guys have had an okay month. And
as good as it gets.
We're looking forward to spending the next month with you. We'll see you guys in a couple days for a bonus episode. Follow us on social media. Email us what you're looking forward to in February, I guess, at unholygossipgirls@gmail.com. and leave us a review.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, we haven't gotten one of those in a while. I'd love to see a review. That'd be great.
Even if it's negative, tell us what we need to fix.
Yeah, do 5 stars though.
Yeah, 5 stars, but tell us what we need to fix.
Yeah, that'd be great. All right, we'll see you guys in a couple days for a bonus episode, and then we'll also see you guys next week for part 2.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.